I'd like you to turn to Psalm 143. We have repeated a verse all last month from this psalm, and I'd like you to see that verse in its setting. This psalm is one of the most beautiful, just crafted in such a marvelous manner as Hebrew poetry. There are 12 verses in this psalm. The first 6 verses tell of his situation, David's prayer. And the last 6 verses tell of his supplications, what he's asking for. This is beautiful form. Every verse has 2 parts to it, just precisely balanced. And all of it put together is a passionate prayer to God. And so I call this David's prayer for deliverance. He begins by saying, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, Jehovah. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness." Now there are 2 parts to that verse. In the first one, he begs God to hear his prayer. And he calls him by the covenant name, Jehovah. Notice the 4 capital letters there. And he asks him to hear his supplications. And once again, this is something that all of us need to think of, because we don't pray as people who deserve anything from God. We come as suppliants, asking for grace, undeserved, unmerited favor. There's no way we can deserve God's answers to our prayers. But he answers. And here David is asking, as we all should, in full knowledge that it is not ours by right. We're asking for special favors from God. "And in thy faithfulness and righteousness, answer me." Yes, God has given us promises. He's invited us to come and ask him. And in faithfulness and righteousness, he keeps his word. He does answer our prayers, not because we deserve it, but because he is good, and his faithfulness is eternal. What a marvelous thought. It's something we can all apply for ourselves. In verse 2, "Enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified." Here he asks for mercy, for he knows he does not deserve help. He deserves God's condemnation, even as we all do. But God, in great grace, reaches out to help his people. And so he asks that God not enter into judgment, for if he does, we are all condemned. There's none of us who deserve God's help. And then he specifies more fully in the second half of that, "In thy sight shall no man living be justified." Now, no man can justify himself. The Pharisees tried in their day and stood utterly condemned. As one of the most famous of them, Paul, recognized himself. He tried as diligently as any and realized that he stood condemned. There was only God who could declare us righteous, justify us. And that, of course, is something that Psalm 119:156 says, "Grant me thy tender mercies, O quicken me, Lord, according to thy judgments." And so there, that is echoed in other psalms as well. In verse 3, "For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead." Ah, his enemy has bitterly persecuted him. That is what David is saying. Now, friends, we have an enemy of our souls, the devil himself, who persecutes us, who attacks us relentlessly, who thrusts into our mind thoughts we would rather not have there. It is a bitter warfare that we are engaged in. And so David's expression here of feeling that persecution keenly, yes, he has and we have. "He hath made me dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead." Now, yes, when we listen to the attacks of the devil, we find out how severe our position is. He's smitten us. He has wounded us. He's treated us as though we dwelt in darkness among the dead, but we are free from death. We are living in Christ. We have an inheritance in Him. He has set us free from these attacks. How blessed we are. In verse 4, therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. And here is David expressing how great the assault has been upon him. He is overwhelmed in his spirit by the attacks that have come upon him. And yes, when we listen to the devil, we too get overwhelmed. Now, we have many things that trouble us. And when we give in to them, when we fail to see God as our protection, then we are overwhelmed. We must make sure that does not happen. For our Savior is strong in our defense. He is able to deliver us from all such attacks. And so David in himself says his heart within him is desolate. And when we are apart from the Savior, we are desolate. Where else can we find help? Who else is our helper? Well, there is none who can help, but our Lord can help. He is the Savior who is able to defeat the devil, to crush the attacks of the wicked one, and to strengthen us by His internal grace. In verse 5, I remember the days of old. I meditate upon all Thy works. I muse on the works of Thy hands. And here David says he is meditating upon. He is letting his mind dwell upon the help that God has already given him. That is a great secret in the Christian life. We must not act as though God were apart from us. We must think back to what He has already done for us. We must think back to the day He broke the shackles of sin from us, and the Lord Jesus set us free. We need to let our mind dwell upon the many answers to prayer we have seen, the blessings that God has brought into our lives. We must think about these things and meditate upon them, for this is the way He strengthens us within. Reminds us of Psalm 19:14, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. As we meditate upon these things, as we let our minds dwell upon them, He strengthens us within. The redemption is applied to our life, and we're encouraged once more. We need to muse on the works of God's hands. In verse 6, I stretch forth my hands unto Thee. My soul thirsteth after Thee as a thirsty land. Here, David expresses his yearning for God. He is stretching forth his hands to God. He trusts God. He is reaching out for the grace that God holds out to him. And he longs for God with a spiritual thirst within. And my friends, that is precisely what we need. We need to thirst for God the way the psalmist did. In this land that we dwell here, we are rarely thirsty. Now, there are such resources at hand everywhere. We don't think of that. But in Palestine, in the south, where David was from, there are no springs of water. There are no streams rushing around all over the place. It is a dry and thirsty land indeed. And there you can get extremely thirsty with the sun bearing down upon you. And he is thinking here of God being his refreshment, of the water of life in a dry and thirsty land. We can see ourselves in this. Here we are far from home. We're in a dry and thirsty land in a spiritual sense. And God is our refreshment. The Lord Jesus is the water of life, springs of water breaking out within. There is the refreshment that we need in this Christian life. And David found it in his day. And we need to find it in our day, that the Lord is the water of life for us. Well, David's situation was fierce. He faced terrible persecution all the time. But God was sufficient for him. And in the last part of this psalm, he spells out his supplications now. He speaks of his need before God, and we too share these needs. In verse 7, hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Yes, hear me speedily. O Lord, Jehovah. We need God's grace, not just ultimately at death, not just for a long time in the future. We need God's grace for today. We need to be testimonies for the Lord today. And so David says, hear me speedily. That doesn't mean that God gets in a hurry. It means that He provides it as we need it. We need it now. Very plainly, we all need His grace daily, every day. And thus, we can pray also that God hear us speedily in His own good time. For our spirit easily fails us. We look at circumstances and get discouraged. We look at how the world is opposed to us and the world arranges things against God's conservative people. But we shouldn't be concerned. God knows all that. And He has always been able to help His people. And He will help us as well. And so He asks, hide not thy face from me, lest I perish, lest I go down to the pit as the wicked do. And no, God does not hide His face from His people. He shines His face of blessing and kindness upon us day after day. The Lord has taken all threat of perishing from us. We look to Him now as our secure redemption. In verse 8, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul to thee. Now here David is praying concerning how he starts a day. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness, to hear God's word in the morning. How many times have we mistakenly leaped out of bed and rushed forth to the task of the day and didn't stop to hear God's word, didn't stop to repeat to ourselves those precious verses, and oh, how hard the day went. Friends, we must remind ourselves, even as David did here, that we must hear God's word in the morning. And here he prays that God will cause him to hear that word in the morning. Friends, we need that desperately. To keep reminding ourselves the first thing when we wake up in the morning, it's not the itemized list of all we have to do that day. We all have such lists in our minds. We must think first of God's precious sustaining grace, the Word that is to us a power and a strength for the day. And we need to think to ourselves of those precious verses that are such a help, such a strength to us. And as we let those words sink into our soul, all that list that we have to get done that day becomes less desperate because God's grace is there. The Word sustains us. And yes, we will face all those tasks. We will get them all done because God's grace imparts to us the ability to do that. And we need to think of His Word as the psalmist prayed, to cause me to hear thy loving kindness. Cause me to know the way. We walk His way. It is not a desperate way. It is not something we have to struggle with and jump over obstacles. It is His pathway in which every step of the way He sustains us with His grace. And He guides us in the right way that will lead us to the right pathway homeward as He desires. And we must think of this. And ask God to cause us to think this way about our daily tasks and what we have to be done because God wills that we accomplish them. What a blessed thought is that. In verse 9, deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. And yes, we have enemies from the devil on down. We have people who are obstacles in our pathway. But the Lord knows about all of that. He is with us, and He is able to deliver us. And so we pray to the same Jehovah, the great I Am, Lord of the universe, to deliver us, to guide our steps and protect us from our enemies. Where else can you find that protection? There is none in this world. People build veritable fortresses as homes and have all kinds of security systems and so on. Still, it's not enough. The devil still gets in quite easily, and others can too. But our protection is the Lord Himself. He camps about His saints. He stretches out His sword in the way, and the enemy fears to approach. He is our trust and our confidence. It's not our forethought. It's not our capability of protection. He is our sufficiency. And we must think of that and pray for His deliverance, for only He can do it. And so as David fled to God, so we must flee to God to hide us from the assaults of the enemy. That He can do. His grace is sufficient in every occasion. In verse 10, "Teach me to do Thy will, for Thou art my God. Thy Spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness." That is a familiar verse to all of you who repeated that all last month. Now we must ponder, what is he really saying here? Teach me to do Thy will. No one automatically knows God's will. We all pray for guidance. We need to be shown. And so the psalmist here prays, "Teach me to do Thy will." Just knowing what God's will is only the beginning. It's doing it that's hard. We all know that we ought to be kind and generous influences in the world. But when the occasion arises, we often drop the ball and forget how. We all know that we should be good witnesses for the Lord and share the faith with others. But sometimes when the opportunity arises, we fail to do just that. And so, teach me to do Thy will. God can teach us. He can put within us the right word at the right occasion. And for all of you who are going on mission trips, remember, that is your resource. It is not that you have such great equipment. It's you have a great God who can call to your attention the witness and the right verse and the right word to say at the right time. Your confidence must be in Him, not in your own resources. He is able to supply you with the ammunition, spiritually speaking, to say what you need to say at the right occasion to the right people. He already knows who they are. You don't. So ask Him to teach you how to do His will. For He is God, my God, as the psalmist phrases it, not a distant deity, one who dwells in your heart, one who is fully able to provide for you the guidance and strength and words as you need them. Thy Spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Ah, that not only means lead you in the right pathway of righteousness and good testimony for Him, but a land of service, for that is what the pathway is. We are not here on vacation. We're in this world to serve, and God is leading us to the land of uprightness, where in uprightness of heart we can please Him by responding to His Spirit's guidance and leading in our lives. But remember, that land of uprightness never fails for us. When we depart this world, it is not to desolation. It is to a greater land of uprightness, a shining splendor that He has prepared for His people. The future before the believer is golden all the way into eternity, and there never will be an end. How gracious our God is. In verse 11, "Quicken me, O Lord, for Thy name's sake, for Thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble." Quicken me, give life to me. And yes, He is our life. He is our sustaining grace. We have nothing apart from Him, but He is the resurrection and the life, and because of Him, we will live forever. And so as David prays, we can pray, for Thy name's sake, because of His own character, His own person, He does this, not because we deserve it. Of Thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. Because He is righteous, because He does what is right always, He hears our prayers, He delivers us, He brings our souls out of trouble, as only He can do. And the psalmist understood how great He was. In verse 12, "And of Thy mercy cut off mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am Thy servant." We cannot defeat the devil. We cannot defeat our fierce foes in this world. They are oftentimes much stronger than we are. But God can do it. The Lord is not only a gracious Savior and Prince of Peace, He is a man of war. He declares war against the unrighteous, a war against the wicked, the devil, and all his helpers. And so the psalmist understands that his help must come from Jehovah God. Of thy mercy cut off mine enemies. He can't do it, but God can. And in mercy, God will do just that. The world has the mistaken opinion that all the wickedness in the world deserves to be here. And it doesn't. God created this world as a blessed place, a place that was good, and He pronounced it good. And evil men, and the devil himself has brought in wickedness, but they are interlopers in God's terrain, and God has promised to remove them. For all who resist Him, they will be cut off, and in mercy He does so. What if, even in heaven, the wicked were there to harass us? The devil was there to tempt us. How dreadful that will be. He promises it shall not be so. In mercy, He removes all our foes, and the devil and all his wicked minions will be gone in that blessed realm. And we will be in a city of light, where there are gates and walls, and what is evil cannot approach, not just because of walls, but because God's glory shines in that place. It radiates with His splendor, and the powers of darkness flee. They fear what is in that city, and His children are safe. I am thy servant, He says. Friends, we can claim that. It's a great task He sets before us, but we are servants of God, here in this realm and forever. What we're doing here is for His glory, to honor Him, and all the opportunities of service that we have, wherever they may be, here at home or abroad. We are God's servants. We are serving Him and Him alone. He is able to empower us. He is able to direct us. He is able to accomplish what He wishes through us. That is our great hope and prayer. That God will take our lives wherever we go, wherever we may be, and use us according to His will to accomplish His purpose. And as His servants, we may trust Him to supply exactly what we need, the strength, the wisdom, the Word. It is all there for us to draw upon in accomplishing His purpose and His will. How blessed we are in this world. How blessed we are forever, for our service shall never end. Let's pray. O Lord, how we thank Thee for Thy grace and mercy shed upon us in the Lord Jesus. How we thank Thee for what the psalmist praises Thee for here, the privilege of service. And we thank Thee for all Thy careful preparation, the sustaining grace, Thy Word to use as a sword of the Spirit in accomplishing this great work. How we thank Thee, Lord, for such opportunities. And we pray now, Lord, that Thou wilt be with each one who is here, whether they are going abroad this summer or whether they are serving Thee here. We pray that Thy Spirit will lead each of us, that Thou wilt call to our minds Thy precious Word and make us good witnesses for Thee. May the Spirit use each of us to be a blessing, to be a help to others who need Thy presence. We pray that Thou wilt give us that sense of Thy presence with us every moment, every step of the way, that the Lord Jesus may be our victory, and we may rejoice in a Savior so great and so gracious and so loving. Thank You, Lord, for the privilege of service. Help us to serve acceptably. For Jesus' sake, amen.